curtain has descended across the country.
Today, our very freedom came under attack.
If young people do not see hope, what kind of message are we sending?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. My name is Colin McEwen, and we are about to talk to a diplomat. This week, as the summer drags on into what is often a vacation month, we're taking a glimpse behind the scenes here at the NATO Association of Canada with our president, Julie Lindhout.
So, Julie, you've been at, and have been and will be, at two different rounds of an obscure event called the Aliante Contest. What is this exactly?
It may be obscure in Canada, but it's not in Europe, especially Central and Eastern European countries. It is a competition conceived and organized by our counterpart association in the Czech Republic. Teams of two high school students compete in the first two rounds, which consist of an initial multiple-choice test, which they answer and submit electronically to the organizers. Teams that score 15 out of 20 or better can advance to the next round, which is more difficult. They have to answer 36 questions on the history, organization, policies, and operations of NATO that require considerable research, and submit the answers to their country's association. The top five teams from each country are allowed to advance to the finals, which are held in a different country each year. Since the country association has to pay the travel to the finals, Canada can only send two teams because of the cost. Once in the host country, all expenses are covered. The finals, which were held on a training base in Kaunas, Lithuania this year, involve 4 days of physical and mental challenges and a lot of togetherness. Individual country teams are matched with a team from another country to compete as a team of four to start the process of learning more about other countries and what binds us together. The top five teams are awarded a winner's trip to another country where they have the opportunity to see major sites, visit some military bases, meet government officials, and enjoy each other's company. This year, the winner's trip is to Georgia and starts this coming Friday. One Canadian team with their Czech teammates came in second. So we leave on Wednesday evening to fly to Tbilisi via Warsaw.
That's a long flight.
It is. Yeah. It's two separate sections.
So since events of this nature are not, I guess, commonly known amongst Canadians, what other events bring multiple different countries together, not just, say, the Europeans, but also on this side of the Atlantic?
There is not that much activity on this side of the Atlantic that brings the people together, because we only have two NATO countries here.
Right.
But several of our counterpart associations, such as Denmark, Latvia, and Portugal, organize week-long seminars for university-age youth each summer, and several others organize similar events on an ad hoc basis. Both Slovakia and Montenegro host large conferences each year for all ages, but with a strong youth component with some separate sessions. The Atlantic Treaty Association, usually in cooperation with NATO's Public Diplomacy Division, generally organizes an event for youth on the margins of the NATO summits, at which young people have an opportunity to discuss some of the same issues being debated at the summit. And they often have an opportunity to meet some of the heads of state attending the summit. The Atlantic Treaty Association has a youth component with its own executive, which meets when the ATA Council meets at the General Assemblies of the ATA, and from time to time organizes other activities, usually between neighboring countries, to cut down on travel costs. The one thing that we have had on this side of the Atlantic are several iterations of the General Assembly, the annual General Assembly in Canada. Our association has hosted the assembly in 84 and 96 and 2007, and we hope to host it again in Toronto next year.
Well, there's something at least.
Yes.
So, I guess moving to more, it's more of the organizations themselves. First, personally, what is the hardest challenge in your capacity that you have to deal with?
Making sure we have the cash flow to allow us to put on our many events and publish as much as we do. That's what often keeps me awake at nights.
I guess more broadly with our counterparts, looking at the various Atlantic Councils, as most of them call themselves. Many of them seem to be either split between, I guess you call it a professional-driven model, like the Atlantic Council in the United States, which relies heavily upon people with professional degrees or PhDs, and others are driven heavily by youth, like our own, for instance, or in the Netherlands, I believe. Is it something unique to Canada that ours happens to be youth-driven and others are more professional-driven?
Ours is probably the most youth-driven, and that is unique, and it has been a deliberate feature of our organization since I became involved with it. As an educator, I believe strongly in involving young people and providing them with an opportunity to learn from experts and each other and to have their work published. We want to make sure that we have no generation gaps in international policy knowledge and leadership in this country.
Well, that's glad to hear, at least, as if I can say that selfishly. So, I guess there are, of course, organizations that do similar things to our own, if not specifically focused on NATO.
Right.
Some of which have a larger audience than ours. What do you think might have to happen for us to grow to something, say, the size of the Canadian International Council, which they have a broader base of membership? I don't have numbers for how deep it is, but they have a broader base. They have a generally a more higher frequency of events. How could you see this playing out?
There's two interesting things. One of the things that could get us to that same height would be a multi-million dollar cash infusion, such as the Canadian International Council received from Jim Bosley some years ago. That's why they are able to operate the way they are.
That would definitely help.
Yeah. And a reliable income source will allow us to hire some permanent full-time staff to provide continuity and oversight and stimulate more activity throughout the country. When I think of how much we already accomplish with the very meager resources we have, I'm convinced we could outperform most other organizations if we had their income. Interestingly enough, when our organization was first started, it was as a committee of the CIIA, which is the parent organization
of the
Canadian International Council. But it was decided after about 10 years that NATO was not receiving enough focus within that broader content. And so we were encouraged to set up our own organization.
I did not know that. Learn something every day. So, since the cash flow is a pressing theme, as many other civil society organizations have to contend with, what might it take for someone with larger purse strings, corporations, government departments, to take an interest again?
I would eliminate the word again. Corporations have taken a limited interest in us over the years because, with some notable exceptions for which we are very thankful, the defense industry thinks that with our emphasis on informing the public, we are not militaristic enough to be successful marketing tools for them. And other corporations that fund youth and information activities think we are too militaristic. They need to realize that Canada is a trading nation and a stable and secure global environment is very important to Canadian industry and every sector. Department of National Defense has always provided some funding for actual projects, such as conferences, but government funding has always excluded administrative overhead, which is one of our greatest shortfalls. With limited staff, you can only do limited programming. The government needs to realize that a public that is well informed on national and international defense and security issues will be much more supportive of government policy in international affairs and make it easier for the government to do its job. An organization like ours that reaches out to all Canadians is a real asset to the government.
Well, in the middle of an election campaign, let's hope someone gets the message. Julie Lentout, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in. Check out our website, natocouncil.ca, for previous episodes, as well as ongoing coverage of events every single day. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn, all of which can be found from our homepage. Next week, we'll be back with a story of someone who crossed the Pacific to be an official delegate in the United Nations at the age of 20. Dr. Diplomat, signing off.